Brought to you on UK Health Radio, The Natural Beauty Show. An in-depth look at the beauty issues that affect you. Welcome back to The Natural Beauty Show here on UK Health Radio. I'm Natalie Elliott. Today we're going to be focusing on an area that is not only of vital importance to beauty, but in fact all industries across the whole globe, and that's sustainability. Before we get going, as with every show, remember you can get involved with the discussions via our Twitter page at NatElliottLife. There's some interesting stuff coming up and we would love to hear your views. Have your say. Tweet us at NatElliottLife and get involved with the show. Put your questions to the experts. You were absolutely fantastic last week, sending in your tweets and getting involved in the discussions that we were having. So make sure you do it again this week. The handle again is at NatElliottLife on Twitter. How often do you pick up your deodorant stick or shower gel and consider that there's a whole process that has happened to bring that product into its final destination, your home? And those processes can have both a negative and positive effect upon our planet and the people upon it. With the UK Climate Change Conference happening in Glasgow in around 3 weeks' time, we have the world leaders descending upon the UK, and there is quite rightly huge pressure being placed upon multiple industries to evolve their methods of manufacture, packaging and transportation to allow for better, safer, greener and cleaner practices. Joining me now is Dr. Emma Meredith, the Director General of the Cosmetic Toiletry and Perfumery Association. Just to give you all a bit of a background, the CTPA advises upon regulation and plays an important role in driving positive practices within the beauty industry. Thank you very much for joining us, Emma, today.
It's lovely to be here, Natalie. Thank you ever so much for inviting me to talk on this really important topic.
Yeah, thank you. And the focus of this show, of course, is sustainability, with the UK hosting the Climate Change Conference in a matter of weeks. And there's an enormous amount of pressure across all industries within the UK to step up and say what they're going to do to help deliver on these promises that we need to make really to the planet. What can the beauty industry do?
Well, it is such an important topic. And yes, COP26 is just around the corner. And all, as you say, all businesses have to act, and we all have to act and do our bit. I think what the really positive thing is that the industry, the beauty and cosmetics and personal care industry, is well on that journey. Perhaps it doesn't shout about it enough, and perhaps that's something that we should encourage certainly CTPA members to do. It's doing a huge amount already. It's not job done, of course not. But in particular, obviously, with our products, the most important thing that companies need to be doing and are starting to do is look at their formulation, make sure that they are sourcing their ingredients from renewable feedstocks, like moving away from fossil fuels, although we've moved away from those in general anyway in the industry. Looking at our packaging, that's an important part of our product. We have to protect our packages, and we also have legal obligations to put certain information on our packaging. But what can we do to make sure that that packaging is as efficient as it possibly can incorporate as much recycled product as it can, and also making it all as recyclable as possible? And obviously recycling is very important in part of the circular economy, but it's not just the only R, there's also reuse and refill. Mm-hmm. And again, as an industry, we're very innovative and we're working towards making sure how we can work with our consumers, work and collaborate to make sure that our consumers can have a great experience with the products that we all use and love every day, but know that we're doing it in a sustainable way. So perhaps helping people to reuse, helping to refill. And refill is really popular at the moment. Yeah. A great initiative for dry products. Perhaps it has its more challenges for wet products, and quite a lot of our cosmetic products are wet, and we have to make sure that our products are safe, and part of that is making sure that it's not a good environment for bugs and germs to grow, which could, you know, cause harm to the consumer. So that's something that we always have to consider when we're talking about refilling. They're not insurmountable problems, but we have to just consider it. And CTPA has issued guidance for its members on things to consider when they're looking at refill. Again, so that consumers feel really confident that when they're going through that process, that the products they're going to refill with are going to, you know, do what they say they do and be safe for them to use. So yes, there are lots of things that we can do. It's certainly not job done, but there are lots of initiatives going on to try and help improve the sustainability and environmental credentials of our products and industry.
Yeah, brilliant. And from a consumer's point of view then, how do we communicate to them that these changes are positive for them? We've become very used to expecting products in a certain way. And I suppose we've all just lent into that comfort, that knowledge that, you know, that's how it's always been. But how can we now encourage customers to get on board with these changes that must happen?
That's a very good point. And obviously, we, yes, as an industry, we're very good at communicating about our products, what they do, and how they can, you know, help and improve our daily hygiene and beauty regimes and our well-being. And I think the consumer, CDPA has done a lot of focus groups, and the consumer is thirsty for that information. They want to do the right thing, and how we communicate is so important. So there's a lot of information that we can put onto our packaging. Social media is a great force for good in that respect as well. It's engaging with our consumers, helping them understand the steps that industry is taking to make sure that they are making the products as sustainable and environmentally friendly as they can. Bring in the consumer with them. Yeah. How we communicate that also is very important. I think it's, as with all cosmetic claims, you know, we really mustn't be misleading the consumer. Yeah. And sometimes what we put on pack, the consumer may misinterpret or may think differently. So it's so important to make sure that our messaging is clear, that we bring our consumers with us and help them understand that there may be changes. So the packaging that they may seem a little different. The types of, whether that's the outer packaging or whether the primary packaging, as we call it, the actual bottle or tube or container may look or feel a little bit different. But the product itself will do what it says it does, as it always has, and will be safe to use, and that industry is doing what it possibly can to make sure that it's developing more sustainable, more environmental products.
I suppose there's a real issue actually for beauty brands, and there's a call for them to have that sincere clarity, because with social media, you know, there's a voice for everyone, isn't there? And there can be a lot of misleading information on any social media platform. Mm-hmm. So I think those that have the power and have the knowledge should really be shouting about it a little bit more, with a little bit more clarity. Couldn't agree more with that actually. It's vitally important to get that right. Let's talk about any practices that you feel exist within the industry at the moment that are just not sustainable at all, and that really need to be one of the urgent areas that we look at as an industry.
Well, I think that industry is looking at the practices, is looking at what it's doing. To say, is it job done? Absolutely not. Yeah. So really, companies need to be looking at they mentioned they're sourcing the ingredients. Are they making sure that it's responsible sourcing, irrespective of where they're sourcing, whether it's coming from a lab or whether it's coming from a natural source, making sure it's responsible, renewable, and not exploiting either the actual resource or the workers involved. Yeah. With regards to packaging, as I mentioned, are we making sure that we are being as efficient with our packaging as we possibly can? Mm-hmm. Are we including as much recycled material as we possibly can? Are we making sure that we are helping our consumers recycle and reuse as best we can? So are we making sure that when we are actually formulating our product, we're looking at, is it the most environmental way? Are we reducing our resources when we're manufacturing? Mm-hmm. Are we making sure that we are making the energy that we use most efficient, reducing on the amount of water that we're using in our formulation? So all of these things, companies are aware of, these are the big topics. And is a job done? Absolutely not. Have we got a long way to go? Yes, but we are on that journey. You know, helping our consumers understand that and bringing them with us is important as well.
I mean, you talk a lot on your website actually about this idea of this new emergence of this green science. Mm. And you know, I find this fascinating and very, very exciting actually, because of course we're all aware that, you know, certain ways that ingredients are produced might have a negative effect on the environment. So what do you think can be done about encouraging more and more brands to use methods of creating ingredients that are just going to really aid the environment rather than have a detrimental effect on it? Do you think that's possible?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, green chemistry, that's a very well-known principle, and it's got 12 key steps. And you're right, that's very kind of you to check our name check our website. We've got a consumer-facing website called The Facts About, and on there we explain those 12 steps. And yes, it's absolutely vitally important that our scientists involved in research and development are manufacturing according to those 12 principles of green chemistry. And so that is reducing waste, reducing energy used, trying to reduce the amount of water, making sure that you're using renewable sourcing for your ingredients. So I think scientists are very much aware of these key principles and are incorporating them into environmental research and development and new product development for our products going forward.
Now, I'm going to be talking to later on in the show a chap called Mark Vida, who is the founder of Skip, which is an American-based brand, but actually he's really focused upon being part of the movement to break the addiction to plastics and ingredients that are not necessarily the best ingredients for the consumer or for the environment. And he's actually demonstrating that with very little change to his cost base, that this is absolutely possible. I'm just wondering, how much could UK regulation help in encouraging manufacturers to actually choose ingredients that are better, not only for the environment but also for human health? Is there changes that need to be made to encourage this more?
I think the really positive and important thing to stress here is in the UK, we have really strict cosmetics legislation, both for the manufacture of our products and the ingredients we use, and also for the environmental impact of all of our ingredients. Obviously, the UK is no longer a member of the EU. For the past 40 years, we've had strict EU legislation for both our cosmetic products and ingredients. And now, in our own capacity, we have really strong, really robust, science-led legislation for our ingredients, for our products, and for the environment. So actually, we're in a very positive place in the EU, in the UK, because we've got legislation that says you can't use ingredients that are unsafe for human health. And we've got environmental laws that actually make sure that, again, that the ingredients that we're using are not going to have a detrimental effect on the environment. And there will then be restrictions placed or bans placed on ingredients if they are unsafe, either for human health or the environment. And raw material suppliers who provide our ingredients, they do environmental risk assessments to make sure that the impact, on the environment is reduced to as much as it possibly can. So our legislative framework here, which is always under review, it's constantly reviewed. And really, we had the opportunity to make sure the legislation in the UK, which came into force in January, is the best it could be. So really, we're in a very good place, I think.
You mentioned your consumer-fronted website. Could you just give us the URL that our listeners can go to find out more if they're interested?
Of course, so it's www.thefactsabout.co.uk.
Excellent, thank you. Yeah, I'd really encourage anyone listening in that wants to learn a bit more about what goes on in the background to, getting these products onto your shelves and eventually into your own hands in your bathrooms and your bedrooms. There's just so much that goes into this and so much that's going on behind the scenes. And these websites are designed really to help you to find out more and be more encouraged to be proactive in making your choices. Well, thank you ever so much for that, Emma. I really, really appreciate your time today, and I feel that you've added some real clarity to where the beauty industry stands with all of this. So thank you very much for joining us.
Not sure, Matthew. It's been a great pleasure to talk with you. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltz know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltz, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltz, life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Brought to you on UK Health Radio, the Natural Beauty Show, an in-depth look at the beauty issues that affect you. Let's turn our attention now to a challenger brand based in the US that's proving that the sustainable approaches to creating beauty products is very achievable. Okay, so I'm joined now by Mark Vida, who's the co-founder of Skip and Pharmacy, two very impressive brands, and really important for us to talk to someone like Mark today, as the focus of the show is on sustainability within the beauty sector and what beauty brands can do to make their practices more sustainable. So, Mark, lovely to have you on the show. I'm really excited to delve into some chats with you today. So you've created two really impressive brands within the beauty sector in Skip and Pharmacy, and not because of their glossy packaging or what we've become very familiar with through the media, unpronounceable ingredients that sound ultra impressive, but actually because of the ways in which you have focused on nature and sustainability in your products. Can you tell us a bit more about what made you take this route when you first came to market?
Yeah, so I co-founded Pharmacy in 2015. It was my first entry into the beauty industry. And it was all based on a plant that I had discovered and patented. It's a echinacea. Lots of people know what echinacea is, but this one bloomed bright green. And so I took it to a lab, had it tested, and it turns out that it's 300% stronger than other echinacea in the active ingredient chicoric acid. So I knew that there was something there. So we use that as the base of the Pharmacy line, which became the first kind of farm to skin brand. It really was the intersection of science, where science meets nature. Mm-hmm. And we got to design the line with blue sky in mind. So I didn't have any baggage from the beauty industry. So our packaging was different. We had recyclable wooden caps. We used glass containers. We put a magnet in the cap so that the little scooper would, you know, the metal scooper would stay attached. So got to do things that most beauty brands didn't. So I learned a lot from that launch. We launched really big in Sephora and worldwide. Mm-hmm. And what I learned in the industry is there's a lot of marketing speak in the industry. And one of the biggest that I saw was the problem of plastic in the environment, and that the beauty industry puts 80 billion pieces of plastic into landfills every year. I now have 7-year-old twin daughters. They're starting to grow up. They were just born when I launched Pharmacy. And so that problem really, really bothered me. And so that's why we started Skip, because I wanted to show the industry that there are better ways. This is a completely recyclable FSC certified paper carton that we dub beauty carton. It stands up in the shower. It's 100% recyclable. It's 91% less plastic. And we're already iterating to make it even better with a new spout and cap system that will be even more recyclable.
Yeah. And how's this being received by your customers? What are the comments? What's the feedback you're getting?
Yeah, it's been really amazing. We created it with Gen Z in mind, because they are the ones that are leading the way to saving our planet. So, you know, we wanted to really connect with them. And we launched on Earth Day this year, and we've just gotten tons of press, you know, from, you know, we were on Good Morning America a week later, Forbes just wrote a big article, People Magazine, you know, lots of industry publications as well as consumer publications are just all touting it. You know, they love the carton. It's bright. It's recyclable. People are like, wow, how can a paper carton stand up in the shower? And it does. And people are just super excited about it. But more importantly, too, it's not just a marketing gimmick. It is about the paper carton, but also what's inside. I mean, we have formulas that are non-toxic. There is a special ingredient in there that is based on honey that we take off of our echinacea fields, ferment it. And so we use that, it's called G Honey Biome, as the base of this product. And the cool thing about that is that it strengthens and balances your microbiome on your skin, as well as strengthens your barrier function of your skin. So it's an amazing formula inside this amazing package.
I mean, that's amazing. I mean, actually, in a few weeks' time, I'm going to be talking a bit more about clean beauty. So what you're talking about there is your formulas are really based upon that ethos of a clean beauty product.
Yes.
Is that something that was equally as important as the sustainability angle?
Yes, absolutely. Because again, consumers are savvy, and it's and they can start. They are starting to be much more educated around their clean beauty brands and their clean beauty ingredients. So we needed to have something that was really sustainable from a packaging point of view, but also something that was really efficacious and really sustainable as well, and clean from a formulation perspective.
Yeah, brilliant. What's been? I mean, you sort of mentioned briefly there that you hadn't come from a beauty background at all, had you? You were quite raw into it. What were your frustrations entering into this Goliath of an industry that's been around for quite a long time?
Yeah, I think that, first, when I first co-founded Pharmacy, the biggest frustration was in the formulations, and scientists really used ingredients as marketing tools, So when we started our honey line at Pharmacy, and the formulators came back with their first submissions, honey was the last ingredient on the ingredient list. And I was like, guys, this is a Pharmacy honey line. You cannot have honey as the last ingredient. And they were like, well, it's sticky. It's hard to work with. I'm like, yeah, but you need to figure it out, because this is not just a marketing thing. Same thing with the echinacea. They just dabble and just put little dashes of things in to say that it is in there.
Yeah.
And that just was the biggest frustration. Then when it came to Skip, again, there's a lot of greenwashing. A lot of companies are doing great things to make strides in the sustainability movement. And it's mostly small entrepreneurial companies that are making it happen. And that's why, we couldn't find anyone to help us with cartons. We called all of the box kind of beverage people. They weren't interested. They thought beauty was too small of a space, so we had to do it ourselves, and we had to buy our own equipment. We had to figure it out ourselves, and it's worked out really well. I mean, our cartons have been now tested by a third party lab that is the most strenuous in the States. Mm-hmm. And for freeze thaw, for how they keep the products fresh and all of that. And they've passed with flying colors.
Brilliant. Actually, I wanted to talk to you a bit about next month. It's quite a significant month for the UK in that the climate conference is taking place in Glasgow in Scotland. And actually what we're finding across other industries within the UK, so sport, transport, food, these industries are already stepping forward and using social media. So Twitter's alive at the moment with statements of how these industries are going to step up and what they're going to do to help with this global issue. And what you're saying there is actually the industry is sometimes quite backward in coming forward. You spoke about smaller brands actually taking strides. Could we expand on that a little bit? What's your thoughts behind that?
Yeah, for sure. I just think that, the smaller entrepreneurial brands are the ones that can lead innovation. There's not as much red tape. There's not as many layers. Us entrepreneurs are all crazy, and we have, we're super passionate about what we do. And, we just take the bull by the horns. It's funny. Climate is such a big issue. And especially with our new administration, there was a movement last Tuesday, a week ago, that was called #CodeRed. For climate.
Yes,
and about over 150 beauty brands got together, a lot of them, small and entrepreneurial. And actually they're the ones that started this movement, where we all kind of put code red on our websites and shut down our e-commerce and urge people to call a number in Washington, D.C. to talk to our senators and our congressmen about really looking and putting some guardrails in place around climate change.
Yeah.
And so I do believe that, I love the big beauty companies because they can really make change. But a lot of times they're a little bit slower to the party. So, you know, if us smaller innovative companies can lead the way and show them that it can work, then I think we all win.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me about then the ethos of Skip. How is this different to, I mean, a lot of our listeners are interested in beauty. They're definitely interested in taking control of their own well-being. So how is the ethos of Skip different to that of the norm within the marketplace?
Yeah, so it's kind of twofold. So let's start with the outside. Of course, the packaging, fully sustainable, fully FSC paper, so it's totally recyclable. FSC is important because, you know, we plant trees when some are cut down so that, you know, it's a completely circular and regenerative formula. And then inside, it's about clean beauty. It's about not using things that you don't need on your skin. It's about, we look for ingredients that are one and below on the toxicity scale. We're using plant-based surfactants. We're using our G honey biome, which is that fermented honey that we did genomic testing on. And it shows that it balances and supports your microbiome, which everyone is talking about now. Not only do we have it in our stomachs and in our guts, but on our skin. And that's the first line of defense for our immunity system. So that's what makes us different. We're very transparent. We are striving to be a B Corp in the States. That is a pretty big deal, you know, which puts sustainability and all of that first. That's kind of why we're different.
Sure. And where can our listeners obtain your products? Do you ship across like globally at the moment, or are they only available in the States? Or I know that's difficult. And actually, you know, ironically, we're talking about sustainability. But, you know, for sure, people around the world are going to want to get hold of these products. Is that possible? And where can they go?
Yeah. So right now we are on our website. It's SkipGen. That's SKPGEN.com. Yeah. That's our site. We will be launching into retail soon. So stand by for that in a big way. And we don't ship internationally yet, but we are talking to some groups potentially that might be made available.
Excellent. That's brilliant. Well, thank you ever so much for your time, and really exciting brand, and excellent that entrepreneurs like you exist within this market space.
Oh, thank you
thank
so
you.
Much.
Carry on the good work. That's amazing.
Absolutely.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
I've come out and about to a high street. I'm in Bournemouth city centre to find out how aware people are to the need for more sustainable beauty practices and if it actually matters to them.
I'm Vicky, I'm 40 years old and I own a sports marketing company. If I found out that my favourite beauty products had chemicals and ingredients that were damaging to myself and the environment, how would I feel? Pretty annoyed. We need more legislation. We need to call out stuff now that we have more information to hand. I think that we are slowly moving to a situation where the consumer is asking more questions of companies. We only have one planet. I am an avid paddler. I spend an awful lot of time on the ocean every day. And I can see the direct impact we're having on the planet from not just from the obviously the chemicals, because that's not something that's so easily seen by the naked eye, but I can certainly see the plastic waste of product on a daily basis. Where do you start? I think it's just a matter of consumers voting with them where their marketing dollar, and we have to buy products that we believe in, and we need information to make those decisions and help steer us in the right direction to make informed purchasing decisions. And we need to just keep pushing and keep doing that.
Hi, I'm Paul. I'm a dad of two from Bournemouth. And it's really important to me that the self-care products that I use are made from sustainable materials. Because as a dad of two, I've got more of an eye on the planet and being conscious of what we're leaving for our children. And this has seemed to have been a theme in food and energy and lots of other sectors, but it seems to have been overlooked in self-care and beauty. But I think it's a theme that needs to be examined more, because the damage that we're doing to the planet is going to be felt by generations to come.
Deep down, as consumers, we kind of know that if you're buying something that's cheap and two for one, the chances are the quality of the products and the ingredients in them are going to be pretty weak. But does that actually stop us from buying it? Probably not. And it's only when you get further down the line and maybe you get sick or a family member gets sick and you find out that maybe some of those ingredients were to blame. But because we live in a toxic world now where everything from our washing powder to our moisturizer to our sun cream to our deodorant, we put so many chemicals on our body and not even give it a conscious thought. And maybe that it's about time we actually sat down and had a good hard look at what we're doing and make that decision. And if that means I have to spend twice as much money for those products to start with, and if I can afford to do that, I should, and those that can should. But the problem is 80% of the world can't afford to make those consumer decisions because they have a family and maybe they do need to spend cheaper on certain household products, and ingredients don't become as important when you've only got so much money to spend. So what's the answer? I think there's a great opportunity for brands to lead the way and pioneer and try and bring the cost down of putting in better ingredients. But ultimately, if the consumer doesn't change the way that we spend our money, it's a bit like the starfish analogy, right? There was I think it was a Chicken Soup for the Soul book, when the person walks along a beach and there's loads of starfish that have washed up on shore. And he starts throwing one back, and someone says, "What's the point?" And he said, "Well, you know, you can't make a difference." And the person picks up another one and says, "Well, I made a difference to this one, and this one, and this one." So maybe we have to start small and go, "Do you know what? Today, I'm going to change my shampoo, and next month, I'm going to make a conscious decision to do a bit of research and pick a better washing powder for my family." And those little changes over time become big changes, and then companies see consumers making different choices with what they're spending on, and hopefully they remove the products that nobody wants anymore. It's not an easy subject for sure, but we have to do something because we literally have one planet and we're destroying it.
I think beauty brands do have a responsibility for ensuring that they source ingredients from sustainable sources. So again, like the food industry, you know, we can't just keep consuming and over-consuming without that supply chain being sustainable, because eventually the resources are going to run out, and that is going to have a fundamentally negative impact on the planet and the supply chains.
It seems clear to me that beauty brands are aware of the need for more sustainable practices, and consumers seem aware and want to be able to make better choices. But how can they identify whether a product they are choosing is sustainable? I put this question to David Walker-Smith, a former buying and merchandise director for beauty at Selfridges and now managing director of Generous Ape, a conscious and sustainable retailer for beauty and fashion. So, David, is there anything consumers can look out for on beauty packaging that informs them visually that a brand is acting in a sustainable way or has a sustainable ethos for their products?
I mean, there absolutely is. I mean, I think it's brilliant to, if you follow beauty brands on Instagram or digitally, you'll start to learn about their values, because I think sustainability means a different thing to a lot of people. So, obviously, there's a little symbol for vegan. There's the bunny ears, which is a very important in terms of being more sustainable. I know Charlotte Tilbury's just got her bunny ears. And then, of course, B Corp. B Corp isn't just about being sustainable. It's about how you run your business as well. So they all mean very different things, but you can always find out.
Yeah. And you mentioned then social media. I mean, you're absolutely right. Brands, you know, are really engaged these days via their social media accounts. Is it easy for a consumer to sort of figure out what their ethos is by looking at their social media?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm in the business, so it's something that I always, you know, sniff out, as you say. But another way to do it is to jump on there online, or when you're shopping online, is actually to click on their values.
Yeah, sure.
Because nowadays it's very hard to read the ingredients on the back of cosmetics because it's so tiny.
Yeah.
So it's just be as aware as you can. And I also know that we spoke about before, it's also the job of the retailer to make it easier for these beauty brands to sell. You know, in a slightly older time, you had them all labeled by, this is the doctor range, this is the natural range, this is, you know, this is this and this is that. And I think it's up to people now to actually say, this is vegan, this is free from, and this is where they have very sustainable ethics as a brand.
Yeah. I mean, with Generous Ape, I mean, you're the whole ethos behind Generous Ape is that you only really stock brands that have that sustainable ethos, both beauty brands, fashion brands, homeware, you know, you've got it all there on the site. Is that something that that's part of the ethos of Generous Ape then? That's the one thing, you will only stock brands that have sustainable backgrounds?
Yes, 100%. So we started it because we wanted to make it easy. We wanted to become the destination for people to go to for brilliant products, that you don't have to sacrifice your style or your quality to be more sustainable. And that's one of the most important things, is that we can live the lives we want to, but we've just got to make more of a conscious choice.
And do you think that just comes down to time, I suppose, doesn't it? It's just...
Well, do you know what? Somebody asked me this the other day, is it about time? And time for me is a decision. You've either got it or you haven't.
Yeah.
It's a luxury. It's the free thing that we can all give away. But it is a choice. And it's a choice that we have to start making.
Yeah, sure. The other thing I just wanted to touch on briefly with you is this term greenwashing. Now, you know, we're both very savvy in terms of whether a brand's being honest. And like you say, we're willing to devote that time. We have that time to put into the research. But what do you know about brands that greenwash? What can consumers look out for?
I mean, I think it's awful, greenwashing. I mean, it shouldn't really be allowed. Some of it goes back to legislation. Mm-hmm. So if you're buying an organic cotton T-shirt from a very well-known high street retailer, only 5% of that T-shirt has to be organic cotton.
Yeah.
You know, so the legislation first has to change, and people just have to be honest, you know, and, you know, if I was in charge, it would be against the law to do all of that.
Yeah.
Because people think they're doing good when actually they're doing no better than they were.
Yes.
So greenwashing basically is a term that is given to products or brands that aren't telling you the full truth.
So they're kind of, in terms of beauty, they're hiding behind these glossy botanical imagery and the colours that really confuse our brain.
You know, and 99% of cosmetics now or skincare is vegan because things aren't tested on animals.
Yeah.
You know, so we want to know more than that. You know, where do actually the ingredients come from?
Yes.
What's the packaging made of? Is it biodegradable? What's it actually going to do for me? What's it going to do to my skin?
Yeah, no, brilliant. Well, thanks for giving us the time today, David. Really,
it's a pleasure.
Could you just let our listeners know the URL that they can find Generous Ape, please?
Oh, yes, it's www.generousape.com. And APE stands for Animals, People, Environment. And we give 10% of annual profits back at the moment to the World Land Trust.
Lovely.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. Well, that's great advice from David. So remember, if you're keen to make sustainable beauty choices, look out for symbols stating a product is recycled, organic, cruelty-free, and if possible, B Corp certified. And be aware of greenwashing when a brand uses clever packaging and marketing to appear greener than it actually is. Well, we've had some fantastic comments from guests today, and like many industries, I think it's clear that the beauty industry will have to play a significant role in getting control of the climate and environmental issues that our planet is facing. These changes will affect the types of products we're using on our bodies, the types of ingredients, how they're sourced, the packaging, and how they're transported. Well, that's it for today's show. Next week, I'll be exploring the rise of vegan beauty with Tim Barford, founder of VegFest and Global VegFest, Victoria Wood, founder of Greener Beauty, and hear some exciting news from The Body Shop, so be sure to join me then.